Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is our, 18th program, I believe, yes. And we're on page 67. And this is the 10th of August, 2020. And we have here the early part of Letters on Occult Meditation. And we stopped because we had this new subject that was coming up, and it is groups for specific purposes. And I had mentioned that we could relate this subject to the seed groups, discussion of which is found in Discipleship in the New Age Volume 1, and also in the externalization of the hierarchy. So let's go on here and see what of interest we may have. Groups will later be formed for specific purposes, which bring me to my third point, the use of the word for certain calculated ends. We had the word used individually, then by a group, and now for specific purposes. And not work, but it's word, excuse me, the word used. Okay. Let me enumerate for you some of the aims groups will have in view when they form themselves and by the use of the sacred word coupled with true occult meditation achieve certain results. Okay. All of this, of course, you know, all of this was written 100 years ago, and we're still in the fledgling stage of these groups being formed, and probably will be until the hierarchy again visibly walks the earth with us. The time for this is not yet, he says, and need arises not for detailed description. Yet if things progress as desired, even you may see it somewhat worked out in your lifetime. And, you know, let's just say these were students and group members of DK's external ashram. Okay. So number one, groups for the purpose of working on the emotional body with the object of development of subjugation and clarification, I would say, related to the dissipation of glamour groups. Well, we have certainly healing groups, and the emotional body is one of those areas which needs considerable healing. The magnetic healers, the second of the third of the specialized groups, the seed groups, has for its objective the healing not only of the etheric physical nature, but of the emotional and of the lower mental nature. It's rarer, yes, because not so many people are mentally focused, but that too. So, groups for the purpose of working on the emotional body with the object of development, a greater sensitivity, of course, of subjugation, so the emotions do not run away with the behavior of the person in question, and clarification, which is related to glamour, because it is the veiled, clouded, miasmic condition of the emotional body which renders it, unclear and responsive to glamour. Groups for the purpose of mental development, of strengthening equilibrium, you know, the air signs tend to bring that about, especially Libra, which rules supermind, and it is an equilibrizing type of mind, and the contacting of the higher mind, and so, let us say, Antikarana work is here found. And I think in our educational pursuits, we are allied with these groups for mental development. And instead of having an unbalanced mind, which is so often the case, equilibrium is necessary. He has discussed this so that there can be control in equilibrizing the astral body as well from the mental body and the contacting of the higher mind. So, you know, let's just emphasize these in general, mental development, strengthening equilibrium, so that people are, you know, truly reasonable in their thoughts and do not simply accept illusions without really examining what they are accepting. It's interesting how much the air signs are connected with this general mental development and equilibrium. And then, of course, there is something called the universal mind. And that tends to be very elevated, at least its expression on the cosmic physical plane, very elevated, and is associated with Aquarius. I mean, just to keep this in context, Gemini, lower and higher mind, Libra, supermind, and Aquarius, we have universal mind as reflected on the cosmic physical plane, where we're not going to be quite like the Buddha having a cosmic touch at the sixth initiation, or the Christ for that matter, a cosmic touch, though cosmic astral instead of cosmic mental. Groups for the healing of the physical body. Well, we're this is perhaps one of the most common type of group at work, and closely related to seed group three, the magnetic healers. Now, bear in mind that this is written quite a bit earlier than the discipleship papers, correct? Quite a bit earlier. So it is a forecasting of what he would describe in greater detail later. Number four, groups whose purpose is to effect alignment and to clear the channel between the higher and the lower. So what can we call these? groups to strengthen and clear alignment. And again, the Antikarana is involved, and even the preliminary relationship between the mental unit and the causal body, egoic lotus. Prelim in Aries, right. So, groups, basically, he discusses this, groups to help the individual and other groups, and he uses the word straighten out through the process of correct occult alignment. Because if things are bent, if things are askew, if the connection is twisted or blocked in some way, the higher just cannot get through to the lower and vice versa. So that is a great necessity. Groups for the treatment of obsessions and mental diseases. And we might call these exorcism groups. Masamoria said when he was writing in the 20s, late 20s and early 30s in the Agni Yoga books that there was an epidemic of obsession. And that was, of course, one of the causes of the Second World War. DK talked about the easily obsessed German people because of their Piscean personality and how these, I would say, demonic forces came closer and closer until they had hold of the entire nation, or at least the majority of it. I think I'm having a little trouble here being identified as a person on the side. Let's see if this makes it any better. I think not. It doesn't really. The sun is coming in, you know, and that's how it goes. Let me switch places a little bit here, and maybe you'll be able to make it out if necessary. So he seems to imply here that there are mental diseases, not simply the camomanasic diseases that we call mental diseases, or astral conditions that we call mental disease, but actually he links the two together, obsessions and mental diseases. So I think it's quite dangerous work. Usually it seems to be given over to the Catholic Church. Maybe there are other practitioners, but they have certain rules for exorcising, obsessing, and possessing entities. And here, of course, we're up against a wall of thought forms. And these thought forms create a kind of illusory condition in the mind, lower mind, characterized by rigidity and wrong belief, wrong reasoning, In other words, illusion in general, and when you add to that the problem of attaching your emotions to the illusions, as he said, the fourth ray type particularly does that, then you have a real problem. We go on. Groups whose work it will be to study reaction to the sounding of the word, to record and tabulate the consequent geometrical forms, to note its effect, that is, the effect of the sounding of the word, on individuals in groups, and to note the extraneous entities it draws by its attractive force, whether positive or negative. These must be rather advanced groups capable of clairvoyant investigation. So this is psychic research. Already there are societies for this kind of thing, but usually they don't pursue subjects which are anywhere near as sophisticated as those that are here mentioned. This is a psychic research of a scientific nature. Notice that a group like this for the future is not discussed among the seed groups. The seed groups are much more at this time of a practical nature. So this is psychic investigation on the sounding of the word. The geometrical forms that are produced through that sounding, because, you know, they are important. A life demonstrates in its totality as a geometrical kind of figure that will tell the one who can read it something about the value and clarity of the life, and then to see what will be the effect upon the individuals in the group as they may be distinctive. And maybe if the word is not properly sounded because of wrong intermingling of the members of the group, one can see what is drawn to the group. Hopefully positive forces, but with wrong intermingling, it's a word he uses above, it could be some negative results. So these are very interesting prognostications regarding the arising of certain groups, and you can see how certain discoveries about the nature of man, his etheric, his causal nature, his in general, his psychic nature, will have to be scientifically established before such groups can really fulfill or be formed and fulfill their potential. I think the sun is coming in so strongly that I'll just get rid of the picture, at least for a time, until things straighten out a bit. Number seven, groups that definitely work at making contact with the devas and collaborating with them under the law. During the seventh ray activity, this will be much facilitated. And so, you know, we're not exactly sure when the seventh ray begins its full collaboration with the Aquarian cycle, because they are not the same cycle, but they cooperate together in a dual cycle. So when will the seventh ray begin its cycle, along with the Aquarian cycle. And if Aquarius begins in 2117, okay, will that be the time? But let's just say, but Aquarius is already coming in an overlap period, and maybe the seventh ray is also. Probably we're going to be witnessing the birth of many more seventh ray souls, and that will contribute to the necessary regularization of human society and generally the conduct of our modern civilization, which certainly will be in the process of becoming even more modern, changing, you know. So even now we can feel the Aquarian influence. It has not entirely overcome the Piscean influence, and there is still, you know, something like a century to go before it entirely does overcome the Piscean influence. Meanwhile, the seventh ray influence is contesting with the outgoing sixth ray influence, and a lot of turbulence is the result. And you know, check out The Destiny of the Nations for the kind of contrasts between the outgoing and incoming rays. Okay, let's go on to group number 8 here. Groups that are definitely and scientifically working on the laws of the rays and studying color and sound, their individual and group effects, and their interrelation. Well, what can we say now that the fourth ray is becoming stronger very soon with the arrival of 2025, it enters in its monadic nature. This also relates to the work in esoteric psychology. So they're the two books that give so much information on the rays will be important. And the idea of the laws of the rays, presumably studying their color and sound, and the color and sound of the rays. So, you know, the psychology group number 8, interestingly, I'm not sure, you know, he's not exactly keeping with the seed group order, but in this particular case, the 8th group is that group which studies these kinds of things, and especially the relation of ray-colored and zodiacally colored thought forms to each other. So this is necessarily, he says, a select group, and only those of high spiritual attainment and those nearing initiation, let's just say By this, we probably mean the third initiation will be permitted to take part. Again, you know, the proper choice of the constituents of the group are so terribly important. Otherwise, like a machine that is not well oiled or frictional rubbing, it will fall apart. Forget not that these groups on the physical plane are but the inevitable working out into manifestation of the inner groups of aspirants, pupils, disciples, and initiates. I wonder, that order is interesting because it seems to put the word pupil in the place of the probationary disciple. And aspirants may not be as focused mentally as the true probationer, the true pupil of this kind of work. So this is select, okay. And let's just say that inner groups, which are much larger, exist and support the smaller externalized groups. So, you know, when we're interested in one of the seed groups, we have to remember that internally they exist in larger numbers with greater knowledge and potential effectiveness, but they do and they will need the outer application to manifest their portion of the divine plan. We can't really think that, you know, we're the only ones here. When we become interested in working in such an outer group, we are much supported by those who really know what they are doing on the inner side. Let's go on. Groups that are definitely working under some one master and conforming to certain procedures laid down by him. The members of these groups will therefore be chosen by a master, and this is related to the manner in which Master DK worked with some 50 students or, well, they were student individuals which he chose. So, you know, he worked in groups of nine at first, and then not completing that particular method for many reasons, but some of it was due to having to attend to far more important things and having certain books that he just had to get out with Alice Bailey. He switched over to another method, and he called it the reorganized seed group or groups. And also there was a kind of ashramic group that studied in the New York area with Alice Bailey at the time of every full moon regarding the method, the ashramic methods with which Alice Bailey as a member of the ashram was very familiar, and those surrounding her were not. So this is the way DK worked. The ninth group, of course, and the seed groups are quite different. They are the economic groups. So in this particular case, you know, the numbering system is not correlating. I guess DK tells us about certain prelates in the High Church who work with the Master Jesus, and probably there are other masters who have their particular way of cultivating outer groups, but Master DK is certainly one, and I would expect him to resume that method as the seed group project in which so many of these people were involved is meant to last until the year 2200. Okay, point 10 here, groups working specifically under one of the three great departments and seeking under expert guidance to influence politically and religiously the world of men and to speed the process of processes of evolution as directed from the department of the Lord of Civilization. So here we have the Manu, and here we have the Bod. How do you spell that? Bodhisattva, Christ at the present moment, and also the Maha Chohan. Again, these would have to be, I think, maybe somewhat, you know, advanced groups. Well, maybe they can work in the three great departments without working directly under the three great lords. To work directly under the three great lords, one would pretty well have to be a lesser master, or maybe a high initiate. Some of these groups will work under the church, others under masonry, and we'll call that the Manus group, and others will work in connection with the initiate heads of great organizations, all working generally under the Lord of Civilization, the Master R at this time. In considering this, you need to remember that the whole world becomes ever more mental as time proceeds, hence the ever increased scope of this work. It requires the higher mind and beyond. It requires, the higher mind and eventually the transcendental mind, intuition. So, you know, which one of these three departments do you find yourself working in connection with? Maybe at this time, which is still a little bit inchoate, more than one. But during the Aquarian Age, we will find our directors, those who have achieved higher and greater things, and we will, as cooperatively as possible, align with them. Other groups, number 11, other groups will work entirely in what might be termed preparatory work for the future colony. Well, this is an idea. I mean, in a way, Australia and New Zealand have been considered, let's say, colonies for the sixth route race. And to some extent, the United States has that kind of function. So, you know, this is not exploitative colonization. Not exploitative, you know, where, oh, you know, like Belgium went into the Congo and was merciless and basically was taking for the mother country whatever it could and was enslaving the people at that time, and others during the 19th century and maybe somewhat the 18th century have exploited the nations which they colonized. This is, in fact, adding a new type of development, wherever it may be, to the spiritual quality of humanity. Okay. Now, problem groups, as they might be called, will be formed to deal with social, economic, political, and religious problems as they arise, studying the effects of meditation, color, and sound. So this is, what can we call it, internal problem solving, or, you know, esoteric problem solving. And then such groups have to be able to study the effects of meditation, color, and sound. So again, the requirements are fairly demanding, specialized. And we can see that from time to time, and actually with a fair bit of frequency, problems do arise. Now, this would be those groups that were directed to deal with the problems of humanity and the extensions of those problems, as certainly new problems arise because of the advancement of civilization and the incoming of certain technologies. You can imagine that there would have to be an ecological problem-solving group. And many are the problems of distribution, which leave so many in the majority in a state of economic privation. And there's the problem of political repression and the problem of ignorant approach to religion, which basically works frictionally and hostilely, with hostility, in relation to other religions. And that's a dangerous matter, you know. There are many people today that, according to their interpretation of the Christian Bible, basically, want to precipitate or help to precipitate a final war so that the prophecies can come true. The Armageddon prophecies, but others in this field and the masters themselves say we have in World War II and maybe in the Great War, including the First World War, experienced a type of Armageddon. I remember reading that from the Tibetan, and I remember being in the Agni Yoga Society where there was this venerable older person who, she was quite old, I think in her 90s, and probably an associate of Madame Rurik, and she seemed to say that the Armageddon had occurred. So if that's so, there must be a considerable reinterpretation of those kind of fabulous and concrete thought forms which provide the illusions, the illusory thinking of so many who follow the Bible, let us say, or maybe other books as well, related to Islam. When you have the Abrahamic religions being warlike and somehow following out the Martian scorpionic agenda, you have a problem that really has to be solved, and it has to be solved through a convincing education. So, you know, these will be like, let's just say that in the Army or Navy, et cetera, you have these commando groups. They go in and they have a special and dangerous mission to focus upon. And these problem groups will have a very tight, concentrated focus. And we're not quite to the point where we can do this. I was thinking about one such group of first degree initiates on the seventh ray, trying to solve the economic problems of humanity. D.K. foretells of their coming work. Still, I don't think, you know, they are existing yet. They haven't been organized yet. Number 13, and this is very strange. I don't know. I'm just going to call this this next one 14. We can't go backwards, can we, from 13 to 12? Still, other groups will deal with child culture, with the individual training of people, with the guidance of persons on the probationary path, and with the development of the higher faculties. So what do we have here? Basically, educated groups. Let's just say from early years to entry to the path of real discipleship. Now, the child culture groups, you can see that they are emerging. You've had disciples like Maria Montessori, you know, with her work for childhood education, and you've had the groups that follow the Waldorf method. These are the groups following the teaching of Rudolf Steiner, and there are many such in various of the more developed countries. So already they're thinking of new ways of educating the young people. And it has to go on. The education is the great resource that will cure so many of the misdirected thoughts and actions. And certainly we have so many people locked into methods of thinking which are absolutely inimical to real spiritual progress. So some of this you can see. With all of these groups, you know, you can see the seeds here and there, I think. They may not be fully developed, not by any means, and they may not be very effective yet, but you can see the people gathering around the subjects, and that that is what's important. I think the sun is, well, it's still too bright. All right. And then later, when the great Lord, the Christ, comes with his masters, there will be a few very esoteric groups gathered out of all the others, where the members, through graduation and karmic rite, will be trained for discipleship and for the first initiation. So let's just say that this is the acme of the general process. We've been studying. There will be seven such groups or centers formed for definite occult training, and only those whose vibratory capacity is adequate will find their way there. Now, you know, it's almost like an indication of the new esoteric schools of meditation, dealt with later in the book, around 299 or so. But we will have to wait until the great Lord walks the earth again, and until a significant number of people have taken the first initiation, and when he appears, it will actually indicate that what is called in general humanity has taken the first initiation. Now, that doesn't mean all by any means, but sufficient to leaven the mass. So here are the plans as laid out 100 years ago. And you've seen indications of the gathering of people around these subjects. And you've seen people thinking in terms of these esoteric schools. But, you know, think of it. How much is required from some of the foregoing groups up to the number 14. And quite advanced requirements are there. So if this is some kind of climaxing group, gathering pupils, members, out of all the others, and it is connected with the first initiation, we would have to ask, it should still be asked whether the first initiation is the third initiation. But that, of course, is something more readily appearing in the age of Capricorn, so associated it is with the third initiation. So the timing of all these things, I think, depends very much on human cultivation, on human response, on the coming out of certain of the masters, not all at once by any means, as he tells us in the externalization, but the gradual appearance here and there of members of the hierarchy and assembling what their teaching might be and gathering foci of energy, gathering together in our consideration foci of energy which are in the planetary centers, New York, London, Geneva, eventually Darjeeling, Tokyo, and there will be responsiveness to these initiates, these masters and their initiates, and then some of the things that are promised can eventuate. He does tell us in one point that even though some of the beginnings of schools can be noted, that the real development of the occult schools lies far ahead. And in that case, you know, you have to wonder when it will be that the reappearance of the Christ will occur. Well, we know the age of Aquarius begins technically in 2117. That's the alignment of the vernal equinox with the 30th degree, however that is measured, of Aquarius. And then backward it moves, you know, in what's called the precession, 30, 29, 28, and so forth. This is not an overnight occurrence. The developments will not occur overnight, and a period of considerable difficulty, we are promised, will occur in the first decanate of Aquarius. And that is generically ruled by Saturn, even though some people do enter Aquarius via Venus, as it's called, and others may be more advanced via the opportunities of Saturn. But in general, the entry into Aquarius is considered to be Saturnian, and Saturn is, after all, one of the rulers of Aquarius, the old-style ruler, you might say. And Uranus, when it was discovered, was a sign, but Saturn still has a very strong connection with this sign. So what we've looked at here well, he says, I've given you enough to consider for today, and we will leave the consideration of point the fourth until tomorrow. And let's try to remember what point the fourth is. I think we're talking about somewhat the sounding of the sacred word here. We have been looking at specialized groups, some of which correlate immediately with the C groups and others do not. So, you know, we have the, let's just review them. The groups connected with the cultivation of the emotional body. Then we have groups for the purpose of mental development and all of these, you know, sort of mental things. Oh, let's see what we have here. Several things having to do with the mind. And we have groups for the healing of the physical body. That will probably surprise no one, as it seems to be the very first kind of healing group that springs up. Groups that are to enhance alignment and clear the channel between the higher and lower, and maybe so many of us note our moments of effective alignment, and that they do not occur all the time because there are many distractions, and basically the channel between the higher and the lower is not really cleared. Even for the first degree initiate, even for the second degree initiate, it's not really cleared. By the time we reach the third degree, we can expect that there has been a clearing. Then number five, kind of very esoteric, I would say, obsessions, and a dangerous approach, I'd say, because those obsessing entities would just as soon obsess you as anybody else. So when you're dealing with contagion, and that is a kind of a psychic contagion, the rules have to be followed. And I think, within the church, there are some of those rules that are extant. I think the Christ gave his disciples power to cast out demons, and these are the obsessing entities. And then we have basically groups looking at the method of sounding the word and what the results might be. That's the OM for our purposes. And then this, under the seventh ray, there's going to be so much of this that people are really interested in contacting the Deva kingdom. And the fourth ray is helpful here. Master Serapis on the fourth ray is, we're told, busy preparing for the interrelationship of the human and Deva kingdoms in a more, in a fuller and more intense manner. And then here are these laws of the rays and the study of color and of sound. So you begin to see, the tremendous potential of the kind of group work that is being anticipated here. Now, already on the inner planes, they are at work, and groups working under a particular master, and I think Master DK's work with his some 50 students, 50, 51, something of that nature, that was an example of this kind of work. And then the groups to influence, working under the three great departments. So I just want to, sometimes to review something is really, really helpful. And number 11, the future colony. That's a little mysterious, isn't it? But it's kind of like that maybe there has to be a place or places where this does occur, but it's not strictly a material factor. It's a colony or colonies of those who represent the spiritual work of the hierarchy and are raised in a new way, and have certain abilities that they've been educated in from the very beginning. And problem groups dealing with social, economic, political, and religious problems as they arise. We've tried just a little bit of that in a very humble way. When there are emergencies, we tend to focus on the area of emergency and see what kind of effect we can bring for amelioration. And these are training groups, especially for young people, it looks like, and those who are at least reaching the possibility of treading the path, but starting out with children. And, we've had in the Montessori and the Waldorf movements, and probably others, examples of this. And then a few very esoteric groups. Now, would they be applied to the first initiation, or would they be applied somehow to the third initiation if they're very esoteric? And before we reached this point, number 14, there have been so many esoteric requirements and the need for advanced types even before this number 14. So all of this will unfold during the Aquarian Age, and I think DK has given us a considerable foundation without excessive detail of the kind of things we can expect in the new age. All right, so I think this is another a good stopping point to go to page 70. And, okay, I'll just go back here a little bit to, I think, page 65, 67, something like that. Yeah, here we are. All right. And so this is an important section as we try to develop a vision of what lies ahead. And it is, I think, you know, an inspiring vision and can elicit from us a kind of educated enthusiasm, which will help these things materialize as we build the foundation. The materialization will not be immediate, okay, but a foundation will be built. And so we've just covered a few pages, and we'll begin next with program number 19. And we'll work from page 70. And we'll see here what day we begin. Maybe even today. All right. Right, there we go. Okay. So thank you, friends. And now, well, it's almost like I can say hi there without being entirely blotted out by the radiant sun. I think it's the fate of all of us, actually. And we'll go on to work on the letter from June 23rd, 1920. 100 years and just a month or two. So, lots of love, many blessings, and we'll resume our work together.